Psalm chapter 121, a song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever.
Hello and welcome to Shelter Rock Church Online. My name is Henry Furman and I'm one of our pastors on staff. I gotta say, it's so great to be with you today as we begin this new teaching series entitled The Psalms of Ascent, Ancient Songs for Modern Pilgrims. Now, if you're wondering what the Psalms of Ascent are, they are actually a collection of 15 consecutive psalms from Psalm 120 to 134. And they were originally sung by pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem. You might say this is a collection of pilgrim songs. If you've ever gone on a road trip, or you know that people traveling together often sing together to pass the time. Well, the Israelites were no different, except these songs were not written to entertain. They had a much more theological purpose. These songs were confessional. These songs were formational. These are songs that make claims about God and ourselves and the world in which we live. And they've been preserved and passed down to us modern pilgrims today. You know, I'm so excited for this series. They say that right now, travel across America is really surging, that people are traveling now for the first time in a long time. And you may even be watching us online from away from home. Well, the texts we're going to study in July and August here at Shelter Rock are going to remind us as a community, whether we're traveling for the summer or we're just traveling through life, that we have a God who is with us wherever we go. They're called the Psalms of Ascent. And at the beginning of each psalm, there is an inscription that says a song of ascent. And that makes sense because they were on their way to Jerusalem. And if you know anything about Jerusalem, Jerusalem sits at 2,500 feet above sea level. So no matter where you came from, there were three valleys around the city. No matter where you came, if you wanted to go to Jerusalem, you had to first go through a valley and then go up to the city of God. You literally had to ascend. And so this is what these psalms often do. They sort of take people through a valley up towards God. And it's helpful for you and me as we go through our life, because we know in life there are hills and there are valleys. And oftentimes we may find ourselves unsuspectingly in a valley, in a place we didn't expect to be. It's in those moments that God's word and these scriptures can encourage us and propel us to move forward as we walk down through valleys up towards God. You know, a few years ago, I found myself in what I would describe as a valley in life, and I needed to remember to look up towards God. It happened right before I came on staff at Shelter Rock. I've shared with some of you, you know, our family went through a major transition, which resulted in a very challenging season for my wife and my kids. At that time, we were parents of three biological kids, but we had just completed an adoption. And if you've ever brought an older adoptive or foster child at home, you know that sometimes that road can be rocky. It was a very difficult transition for all of us. And I'll be honest with you, at times in that season, we were all really struggling. You know, I'm usually a pretty confident person. I feel capable. But in those moments, in those months, and even up to a year, I felt really broken, really incapable, really unable to be the father that I felt like God had called me to be to all my kids. I was sort of running at the end of my rope. I was full of anxiety, stress, and overwhelmed. And it was around that time I started to run. I started jogging, almost as a way, I think, to sort of manage my stress and release some stress. But when I was running, I would listen to this one song on repeat. If it's a song that, if you don't know it, you should. It's a song that I would listen to over and over again. I would go on a 3-mile run or a 5-mile run, and I would just play this one song on repeat time and time again. And the song was Lauren Daigle's hit song, Look Up, Child. It's a very simple song. It's a song where the writer writes from the perspective of God, encouraging us, his children, to look up to him and to fix our eyes and hope in him. You know, I would run for 5 miles and listen to that song 15 to 25 times over and over again, because at that season in my life, I need to be reminded that I didn't have what I needed, that the only resources that were available to me were not from within me. I need to be reminded not to look at just my circumstances around me. I needed to be reminded and hear from someone else to look up towards God. Pastor Mike is going to drop that song in the chat. And if you don't know it, you can click on it and listen to it later on. But in many ways, a good song like that can really get our eyes off ourselves and lift our eyes to God. And in that way, Psalm 121 is a great song for us to study today. It's probably one of the most well-known songs in the Psalms of Ascent. Psalm 121 is a song that invites us, encourages us, and even instructs us to look up to God. So hear these words today. Hear these words even from God, maybe telling you today to look up, child. Let's read the scripture again. It says this, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over Israel will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Listen to this. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Notice one of the interesting features about this psalm is that it's not a monologue. It's actually a dialogue. This is a conversation. You can see it. There's a perceptible shift between verses 1 and 2 and 3 through 8, as if there's a conversation taking place. There are two voices. Voice number one begins and says, I look up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? And then voice one answers it, my help comes from the Lord. But then verse 2 is almost a response. A second voice enters in, almost to sort of double down or offer reassurance that that answer was the right one. And the second voice spends the rest of the psalm really unpacking all the reasons why we can have trust and confidence in God, that he is vigilant in protecting and providing for his people, that he will cover us at all times, that he never slumbers, he never sleeps, he's always awake now and forevermore. And so today, what we're going to do online today, we're going to enter into this conversation and we're going to listen to these two voices. We're going to listen to voice one, who sort of asks that introspective question. It's a question I think we all need to ask. Where does my help come from? But then we're going to listen to the second voice, to the voice that reminds us of all that God is and all that he does for his people, that he watches over and preserves and protects us every step of the way. We're going to begin by asking the question, and then we're going to end by hearing the answer together. So let us start first with sort of that introspective question. Number one, I lift up my eyes to the mountains, the psalmist says. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Remember, this is a pilgrim psalm. It's a psalm that the Israelites would sing on their journey to Jerusalem. And that road on their way to Jerusalem was a mountain road. Here's an image of sort of the mountains that surround Jerusalem. These were dangerous roads. They were dark. They were dangerous. You were in the middle of the desert. There were all sorts of dangers along the way. Do you remember the parable of the Good Samaritan when a man was robbed, beaten, stripped, and left half dead by the side of the road? Well, Jesus tells that story and he locates it on this road, on the road between Jerusalem and Jericho. And so there's real physical danger for these pilgrims on their way to the city of God. It's likely that these pilgrims are talking about physical danger, real threat, someone who may be out there to hurt them. Physical danger. And they're saying, I look to the mountains, I see the danger. Where does my help come from? Well, my help comes from the Lord. Well, scholars also suggest there's a second possibility, that it's these high places in around Palestine, they were actually places of pagan worship, that as these pilgrims were journeying to Jerusalem, they would hear these sort of idolaters and these pagans crying out to pagan gods, these false gods, and they may have been crying out and making sacrifices to these false gods. And at that moment, the people of God would be reminding themselves, but where does our help come from? Does it come from these false gods? No. It comes from the true God, the maker of heaven and earth. This past week in our preachers' meeting, the gentleman who's preaching in Manhasset, he's a missionary in Jordan, he raised a third possibility. He said it's likely that it's possible that these pilgrims were on their way to Jerusalem and looked up at the mountains of God. And on the mountains of God, it's where the temple sat. It's where the holy place was. And they would look up to the temple and say, but where does my help come from? Does it come from sort of religion and these religious forms and the sacrifices that we're going to do in the temple? Does it come from sort of my obedience in going to the temple? Does it come from the religious forms? No. Our help comes from God. See, they're looking to the mountains, but ultimately they're looking higher than the mountains to remind them where their strength comes from. And it doesn't come from their own ability to defend themselves. It doesn't come from what other people are relying on. And it doesn't even come from sort of our religiosity or our religious forms or adherence. Our help as God's people come from God. And I love what the psalmist says. Look what he says. He says, I look up to the mountains. My family and I, we just got back from vacation at Rocky Mountain National Park. Now, if you want to see mountains, go to the Rocky Mountains. We always thought of it as, you know, we live near the ocean. And so, we get to vacation all the time at the beaches on Long Island, which we love to do as a family. So when we go away, we try and go away and see mountains. And just 2 weeks ago, we saw majestic mountains and we hiked through these mountains and saw amazing things. But, you know, the mountains are different than the ocean, aren't they? The oceans, the tide comes and goes. It's constantly ebbing and flowing. It's always moving. In fact, if you swim in the ocean, you got to be careful that you sort of stay within those lines that the lifeguard set, because the natural current will pull you away. The mountains aren't like that. They don't move. They don't shift. They don't sway. The mountains are stable. They're strong. They're sturdy. They're immovable and unshakable. And the psalmist is saying, so to speak, I look to the mountains and their stability and their strength. And when I look at them, it reminds me of my God. Friends, I want to invite you today to sort of ask that introspective question. Where is it that your help comes from? Where does your help come from? Do you rely on your own strength and your own resources? I know I'm tempted to do that all the time. Are you looking for safety and security and strength in the sorts of things that other people are looking towards? Maybe you're trusting in sort of your religious obedience and adherence to sort of bring you closer to God and make you right with Him. I mean, look, you're even watching church online. You didn't make it in person, but you're watching online. I mean, like, that's got to count for something, right? Wrong. Our help, our hope, our strength is in none of these things. It's not in some sort of cosmic power that's abstract either. It is in a personal and knowable and powerful God. We look to the mountains. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So ask that introspective question today. Where does your help really come from? Where are you relying on? Where are you putting your hope and your trust? But then let's sort of give every reason to reassure us as to why saying our help in the Lord is the right answer. And it is. It is the right answer. And the psalmist goes to great lengths to let us know that our help truly is in God and in nothing else. Look at what he says. The focus is all on Yahweh. Verse 3, He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Some of you need to hear this. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Notice how all of the focus in the text is on the Lord and what the Lord will do. The psalmist insists that Yahweh will guard his people persistently. You know, there are at least three dangers in the desert, right? At any moment, your foot could slip. And yet, he says he will not let your foot slip. In the desert, you got to be worried about the sun. The sun beams hot and you can grow faint. And he says he will be your shade at your right hand. The third danger, he says, at night, there could be terrors at night. He says, no, you won't even be moonstruck, right? That word lunar comes from the word lunacy or lunatic. And he says, no, he will guard you by day and by night. The picture is total and complete, that God will guard you morning and night, at your right hand, all around you. He sort of got you surrounded both now and forevermore. You know, there's one Hebrew word that actually appears in this text six different times. And the English translations really, they don't bring it out well, but you in the Hebrew, you can see this same word, shamar, appear over six different times. And it's the Hebrew word for keep. The word keep appears over and over. In verse 3, it says, he who keeps you will not slumber. Verse 4, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. He will keep you from all harm. Verse 7 again, he will keep your life. In verse 8, it says he will keep you, your coming and going from this time forth and forevermore. That word that the writer is using over again, remember, this is poetry. This is for emphasis, this repetition, right? That word keep, it can mean to watch or to preserve, but it has really military connotations associated with it. It's a word that would be used to describe a strong fortress. Or in our modern vernacular, it might be a word being used to describe sort of the Secret Service or a bodyguard, someone who is always with you no matter where you go to protect you. And as we look at the image that the psalmist paints of God in this text, it's almost embarrassing, the picture, isn't it? Right? It's like he's got you totally surrounded. He's not going to let your foot slip. He's going to be right there by your feet. He's going to be your shade at your right hand. He's sort of watching over your feet and your head and your hand and everything, your whole body. It's day and night. He's not going to harm you day or night. He's going to keep you from all harm. He's going to watch over your life now and forevermore. It almost feels like God is like saying, I want you to think of me as the God who hovers over you, right? Head to toe, day and night, now and forever. You know, we have a word for parents who hover like that. In fact, some of you watching, you may actually be guilty of being one of those parents. It's not always used in our culture as a compliment, but you know the term, right? A hovering parent, known as a helicopter parent. A parent who's sort of like always hovering, always over their kids. And it's like, you know, they're little and they're taking steps and you're watching them and you're being very careful and you're sort of surrounding them and they're coming down off the slide or somewhere and you're just sort of like monitoring them. You know, those parents who are like on the playground with their kids, sort of following them around. Like some of you are like that. You're these sort of helicopter parents. And it was really cute when your child was like 2 or 3, but now they're 35 and it's time for some of you to sort of like back off a little bit and just give them a little space. No, I'm just kidding. Although on Long Island, that's probably more true than we like to admit. But really, we've got this sort of language in our culture, don't we, of sort of a helicopter hovering parent, and we see it as a negative. Well, I want to flip that for us today and offer an image of God, helicopter God, a God who is hovering over his people. And this is a good thing. We need this. We need this sort of preserving and protection and someone watching over us like this. We need a power that is greater than us surrounding us. Now, oftentimes when we think about protection, we may think of an umbrella. I have an umbrella and I'm going to bring it into the shot here. And if it's raining outside or, you know, like there's a Hurricane Elsa, you know, coming our way, and you know, like we've experienced over the weekend, it's nice to have an umbrella so that when the rain comes, you're covered. But what I get a kick out of sometimes, you ever see those images of celebrities with umbrellas? Have you ever seen these online, right? Like, you know, they're on a red carpet event and they sort of got like a team of umbrella people that is sort of around them. This is how we treat celebrities in our culture. This is an image of of J-Lo, for example. You got J-Lo here, and she's sort of, you know, walking in, and we just want to make sure that she doesn't get wet. And so, you know, they've got somebody who's holding an umbrella for her. Or how about this image of Kim Kardashian West, right? You got Kim Kardashian coming through, and then she's got, like, people holding an umbrella so that the rain doesn't hit her, right? Like, God forbid she feels the impact of a raindrop. We just can't have that happen. So she's got other people holding an umbrella for her. Or how about this one? I love this one of Cameron Diaz. She's got a team of people holding the umbrella for her. or how about this one with Jennifer Hudson? Notice it's not even raining in this picture, and yet they're sort of covering her, protecting her from the glare of a photographer's flash, right? So they've got this umbrella over her. Or how about this last one? This is Reese Witherspoon, sort of on the red carpet. Again, beautiful day, beautiful evening, and yet they're holding this umbrella over her. This is typically how we treat those who are important, those who are significant. This is how celebrities get treated in our world. But how different are those images from this one, of a father and a son walking down the street in Vancouver, British Columbia a few years ago? It's pouring rain. And yet the father is holding the umbrella over his son. He's wearing it all. He's getting it all. And he's drenched and soaking wet. But he's doing it. He's got one form of protection, but he doesn't put it over himself. He places it over his son. You know, this in many ways is not a bad picture of the gospel, of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. You want to know where our help comes from? Lift your eyes not just to the mountains, but lift your eyes to the mountain, to Calvary, to the place where Jesus Christ gave his life for you and for me. When we look and lift our eyes to the cross, what we see is our salvation and our help has truly come from the Lord. And what happened on the cross is, you know, otherwise we would have felt all of God's wrath, all of God's judgment, all of the punishment would have been poured out on us. And yet Jesus took it all on the cross so that when you and I, when we walk through this world in Christ, we're now covered. And we come under the covering of the protection that only Christ can provide. See, where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And so here's the invitation for you today. And here's the invitation for you and me as a community, that we would ask the question, where does our help come from? But then that we would look to the Lord, that we would look to Jesus and say, our help comes from the Lord. I want to invite you today to look up, child, to look up, child, and to look up at the one who is looking down on you. You know, Corrie Ten Boom was a young woman, a young girl, when her family was brought into a concentration camp. They were harboring Jews from the Nazis, and they were actually brought to a concentration camp themselves. And she survived it, and she lived to tell the story about it. But she has this wonderful quote. Now think about it for a moment. She's in the deepest, darkest valley, right? She's in Nazi Germany in a concentration camp. Like, if anyone knew what it was like to walk through any valley, it had to have been her. And yet, I love what she says. She has this beautiful quote. She says, "When you look at the world, you will be distressed. When you look within, you will be depressed. But when you look at God, you will be at rest." Friends, when we look at the world, it's easy to be distressed and discouraged at all that we see around us. And when we look within our own strength or lack thereof, it's so natural to be depressed and wish we had more than what we have. But when we look to God, we will be at rest. So let us lift our eyes to the mountains. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. In a few moments, Pastor Mike is going to lead us through communion, and we're going to remember what Jesus has done, and that he is our help and our hope and our strength, that he has done on the cross what we could not do for ourselves. But before we receive communion, let us prepare our hearts in prayer. Let's pray. God, that's our prayer today, that we would be a church, a people, a community that is known for looking up to you, that we don't get overwhelmed by what's going on in our world, and we're not sort of looking into our internal resources either, but that we would be at Shelter Rock a community of people that look to you. Where does our help come from? Jesus, it comes from you. We thank you for what you have done, are doing, and will do. May you do immeasurably more through us than we could ever ask or imagine as we fix our eyes on you. In your name we pray, amen. Amen.